puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsberg. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, what are we talking about this week?
Well, back in 2024, when it was announced that the Manitoba Book Awards would be discontinued, many people jumped to the conclusion that good books about Manitoba would no longer have any means for recognition. This was and is untrue, because my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, has been presenting its Margaret McWilliams Awards since 1955. It's one of the oldest literary awards in Canada. And there is another award program called the Manitoba Day Awards. So while I'm pleased that the Manitoba Book Awards will resume this year, we should dispel the notion that for the past 2 years, there has been no awards for historical excellence.
Now, who makes nominations for the Margaret McWilliams Awards, and how are they evaluated?
Well, most nominations are made by publishers or authors, whoever has access to a supply of the nominated work, because we do need copies to be distributed to a jury of five people. These jurists read all the nominated works, and then they meet to discuss them and select a winner in each of three categories: local history, popular history, and scholarly history.
How many books were nominated this year?
Well, there were 10 nominations, and I'm mindful of our time constraints here this morning, so I've boiled down a description of each of those 10 books to a couple of sentences, and I hope they'll give listeners at least a sense of each one. So here, Nadia, here's the list of the 10
Thank
nominations.
You. Okay, so I have the list here. I'm going to read out the title, and then you're going to tell us a little bit about each one.
I'll try.
Okay, number one. This is in French, so please forgive my pronunciation. Dans la cour des grandes by Roger Turenne.
You're right. This is a memoir about the author's experiences working with the Federal Department of External Affairs. He was also a special advisor to Manitoba's provincial government and was an ardent environmentalist. And I didn't realize that latter one until I saw the book. And I realized that I own a framed photo that he took years ago of a beautiful wetland in northern Manitoba. Interesting, diverse fellow.
Okay. And the second one is called Fogbound, a heroic bush pilot named Gunnar.
Yeah, so this is a short biography of a Norway-born bush pilot named Gunnar Ingebrigtsen, who worked in Arctic Canada in the early days of aviation. The book was written by his niece, Sheila Ingebrigtsen Stewart, and it describes journeys that he took before, well, unfortunately, a tragic death. It describes Canada's involvement in the Second World War, and especially its defense of our northern borders.
Number three is called Founding Folks, an Oral History of the Winnipeg Folk Festival by Kevin Nickel.
Mm-hmm. This history of the festival, it's a companion to a documentary film project by Nickel. Of course, he's a noted local documentary filmmaker. It starts with the festival's founding in 1974, and it tells the story through interviews with staff, with volunteers, and of course with musicians, of how the late Mitch Podolak's dream developed into, I think, what is widely recognized as one of the most influential folk festivals in North America.
Of course, we have lots of folk festival fans here in Manitoba, so that's mm-hmm. a good one. The next one is familiar. We actually interviewed the author about his book. So this one is called Homegrown Radicals, a story of state violence, Islamophobia, and jihad in the post-9/11 world by Yusuf Sufi.
Right. The author is a researcher on Islamophobia at the University of Manitoba. He examines in this book the concept of radicalization through the case of three Muslim students from Winnipeg who disappeared in 2007 and were concluded by security agencies to have been turned into terrorists.
The next author is also familiar. We did have her on the show to talk about this book, and of course she recently tragically passed away. So this is Naomi's House by Rosalie L. Tennyson.
Mm-hmm. The author of this poignant memoir looks back on a childhood in the 1960s that was, well, honestly, shaped by poverty after her father's death. Her mother, Naomi, fought to give her children safety, stability, and a chance at a better life. And as you pointed out, Nadia, Tennyson, the author, died tragically last November after she was struck by a vehicle just over here a little ways from the studio in Osborne Village.
I'm so glad her book is being recognized. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one, number six, Northern Tier Beset, Tales from 50 Years of Scouting's Most Extreme High Adventure Program, Wilderness Canoeing, Gold, Float Planes and Three-Legged Polar Bears by Don Richard and Chuck Rose.
Might take a prize for the longest book title. but it chronicles a scouting program in which crews flew into remote sites in Manitoba's Attakaki Provincial Wilderness Park and Woodland Caribou Provincial Park in Ontario to begin multi-day wilderness canoe trips. It gathers memories from staff and scouts who took part in the program, along with imagery, and there were, yes, or a few tall tales thrown in there for good measure.
Slightly shorter title for number seven, On the Hunt for William Hallett, Discovering a Forgotten Métis Leader by Audrey Land.
Right. Louis Riel, of course, is celebrated today as the father of Manitoba. But in the 1860s, you know, he was not universally admired. This new biography follows one of Riel's contemporaries and not one of his fans, a man who scouted for the Boundary Commission as it mapped a line between Canada and the U.S., and unfortunately, William Hallett came to a tragic end. It's a really a wonderful book, and I think it deserves to be better known.
Number eight on the list is Portage and Main, How an Iconic Intersection Shaped Winnipeg's History, Politics, and Urban Life.
These two noted podcasters and historians, Sabrina Janke and Alex Judge, have written an engaging account of the people, the events that have shaped the evolution of Winnipeg's noted intersection. It starts with its origins way back when it was far from the community center at Upper Fort Garry, and people always thought, why are they building way over there? And of course, it ends with its reopening to pedestrians a year ago, and I walk across that intersection almost every day.
Number nine is called The Girl Who Met Sasquatch by John Worms.
This is his third book, the first one having chronicled the life of folk hero and jailbird Percy Moggy. A few years ago, he published a book on such creatures from the realm of cryptozoology as giant beavers and manipogos. Now, this particular book is a children's book, and actually it's interesting. It's colorfully illustrated by his granddaughter, and it's about a girl and her interactions with a Sasquatch. Worms maintains the book was based on a real-life encounter by one of his friends.
And finally, number 10, it's called Winnipeg, Places and Spaces.
Yeah, and it's a neat little book compiled by Susan Algy, Kai Hassel-Reese, and Jim Wagner with numerous other contributors, all involved with the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation. It contains information on literally hundreds of places around the city, and I think it's a good field guide if you're planning to take a walk. You can learn about some of the things along the way, and what I find especially cool is that the book is wrapped in a map. So you can take off the book jacket, unfold it, and there you get a view of all the places that you can visit.
Admirable job, Gordon Goldsborough.
I think so.
It's not easy kind of capturing the spirit of all these books in just a few sentences, and yet you did it. So,
well, thank you.
If listeners are interested in learning more about any of them, how can they do that?
Well, I've put a full list of the 10 books on the Manitoba Historical Society website, and I've also provided links to places where people can find out more and maybe even purchase copies if they sound sufficiently intriguing. So go to mhs.ca/bookawards, and that's all lowercase letters. And by the way, winners of the 2025 Margaret McWilliams Awards will be announced at the annual general meeting of the Manitoba Historical Society in late June. So stay tuned.
So that's the Margaret McWilliams Award nominations. But you said that there was a second program called the Manitoba Day Awards. What's that one about?
Well, I think we're going to have to hold that conversation until next week. There's just so much to say about this wonderful program because it recognizes excellence in the use of Manitoba's archival resources.
Stay tuned for that one next week. Thank you, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.